following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Tonight is Charity Series Part 4. Love is never haughty or proud. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the fourth week in a row. I'm teaching on each attribute of the love chapter. Never done this before, and I figured a lot of us probably just run through the love chapter attributes and characteristics, and we get so convicted, we turn the page real fast, and we don't look at it again. Because they are really modeled for us what God's trying to do in our life, is mature us. Can you hear amen? That's what it's all about. God's trying to grow us up and to be more loving. Unconditional love. Unfortunately, many of us grew in conditional love environments. That you were loved as long as you did good. Amen? As long as you behaved, you were loved. When you disbehaved, well, you were corrected, but there was rejection in it. We call it correction rejection. And, you know, God, and so we tend to look at God that way, the way we were raised. We tend to look at God the way we looked at our parents sometimes. That, you know, he's mad at us because we hadn't been good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's called living under the law, and that is bondage, man. Because we have a God that loves you even when you're bad. I mean, your goodness or badness has nothing to do with his love. It's called unconditional love. And most of us don't have a clue what that means. But God wants to teach us, because as we learn to his unconditional love, we can love one another that way. So we're going through these attributes, and if you're interested, there have been three parts so far. This is charity series number 4. If you would like previous ones, you can go in there and order them, I believe. Isn't that right, ushers? They can order them on a, is there a place to order them? As well, is it a buck if they just, or is it two if they order a previous one? Okay, tonight's tape is $1. If you order one of the previous ones, it's only $2. That's just because it's more of a hassle to do it instead of, but we just sell these things at cost, and I encourage you to get these, particularly after you sense the deliverance. We've had deliverance after each one of these. And if you have any problem with, I think the first one was patience and long suffering. Anybody got any problem in that area? The second one was envy and jealousy. The third one last week was boasting. We talked about Mighty Mouth. Mighty Mouth in the Bible. Guy who stood there in front of the city said, "Here I am to save the day." I've actually found this in the Bible, Mighty Mouth. He was a boaster. And tonight, we're going to talk about love is never haughty or proud. Turn to Mark 14:26. Love is never, that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Did we look at that, by the way? That's verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. That's the fourth characteristic. Love is not puffed up, King James reads. I'm telling you, love is never haughty or proud. Turn to Mark 14:26. I'm going to show you, start out with a guy that is incredibly haughty and proud. His name was Peter. Look at this verse, 14:26. And when they sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. This is right before Jesus, as you know, died. And he said, verse 27 of Mark 14, "All of you will be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And after I'm risen, I'll go before you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Although all shall be offended, yet not I." Now, you probably could have heard a pin drop in the room after he said that, because he said it in front of the other guys. Was that a bit insulting? Now, here's the future leader of them all. He's the leader. But he ain't, the cake ain't quite done, is it? A little raw on the inside. So Jesus turns to him with a stinging rebuke. You know, when you say it publicly, you need to be corrected publicly. So he says, "Oh, yeah? Well, this night, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Kind of put him back in his place. Peter was pretty sure of himself, and yet Jesus saw right through him, as Jesus is wont to do. He knew that Peter had a problem. In fact, look at Luke 22. Satan was after Peter. Look at this verse, Luke 22:31. This is really a similar context. It's the exact same context, really. Luke 22:31, right prior to his crucifixion. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And he says, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day before you thrice deny me. So two gospel writers recount the same incident. We can really kind of converge them together. The attitude that the man was overconfident and convinced that there's no way he would deny the Lord. He was fully confident in himself. And yet Jesus was saying, Peter, there is a major stronghold inside of you. In fact, Satan, you know the Greek reads here? It says, Satan has earnestly begged to have you. That's how it reads in the original. Earnestly begged. Satan basically said, to sift you as wheat. You know, when you sift something in a sifter, it's because you're trying to get things that shouldn't be in there out. Am I right? And the granules fall through, but the stones or the rocks stay. Well, there was something in Peter that Satan wanted to sift, because there was something in Peter that was Satan's. And what was that? Pride. And the reason he earnestly begged is because Satan saw it in him. So that's mine. That little arrogant, haughty thing, that's mine. See? And you wonder about the theology of that. We'll just go to the first book of Job. You don't need to turn there. Remember how Job started? He said, have you seen my servant Job? Blah, 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 blah. And Satan says, yeah. But, you know, there's something in Job. You take away all his trappings and he'll curse you. Well, remember the story? And God let all kind of calamities happen. He still didn't curse. And then he said, well, you touch his body and he'll curse you. And he still didn't curse. But, you know, chapter 3, Job did begin to curse. He didn't curse God, but he cursed the day he was born. And we finally see in chapter 32... of Job, his problem, it says, and Job was self-righteous. It was pride in Job. Satan saw that, and that's why he had his hook. In fact, the whole book of Job was to show him this stronghold. The 41st chapter actually exposes the demon that lived in Job. Fascinating, and the name of it was Leviathan. It was a snake. Lived in Job, I really believe, spiritually. It's a picture of the demonic stronghold that was in Job. It was Leviathan. And the whole book of Job was to get into chapter 41 where he'd see it. In chapter 42, he finally saw it and he repented, and God gave him everything back twice. Probably hadn't heard the book of Job taught like that, have you? It's a deliverance book. So is every other book in the Bible, almost. And so Satan saw something in Peter. And you know, pride, there are a few things it's hard to see in yourself. Can you hear what I mean? It's like a slippery snake, a sneaky serpent, or a subtle beast. It's easy to spot in others. Some of us are skilled at the art of discerning pride in others. Amen? We could write dissertations about the pride that's in all those people around me. They're full of pride. Everywhere I look. How about you? No, I don't have any pride. But bad, they got the pride. See, we can't see it in ourselves. Look at Psalm 36:11. Turn there. We're mostly blind to this. And yet it says, love is not puffed up, is not proudful, is not haughty. Literally, the word there in the Greek is not haughty. Luke 36:11, God's calling you, somebody. Did you know George Bush was in a meeting this week? There was a big ad on George Bush. George Bush was in a meeting and a cell phone kept going off, and he finally lost it. I mean, he said, do not bring those in my meetings anymore. And I know how he feels. That's okay. You got it here. Just turn it on off or turn it on vibrate. That's like a vibrate deal. Let that thing vibrate. 36:11. Look at this. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Look at this. And let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Is that how your versions read? You know, that's a good prayer to pray. Can I amen? Let not the foot of pride. You know, all Satan needs is a foothold. Can I amen? Don't let the foot and let not the hand. You see in that verse, a foot and a hand. Satan wants to get a foothold so he can get a handhold of pride in us. All it takes is a foothold to get in. Let me give you the definition of pride in case you're clueless about what it means. You ready? Here it is. Can y'all read that? Well, here it is, pride. It's kind of hard to read, isn't it? Well, let me read it to you. An over-high opinion of oneself, exaggerated self-esteem, produces conceited, arrogant, and haughty behavior as a result. Now, where did pride come from? Turn to Isaiah 14. I'm going to show you where it came from. Isaiah 14, verse 12. You with me? Come on, turn quick. This is a prophetic word about Lucifer. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, who weaken nations? For you've said in your heart, look at this prideful stuff Lucifer said. I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne. Look, above the stars of God. That represents the angels. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then God says, yeah, you should be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now look at Ezekiel 28. I always remember this because 14 times 2 equals 28. It's Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 are the two passages about Lucifer. Y'all ready? Ezekiel 28. There we see in Isaiah 14 one of the clearest pictures of the heart of Satan. It is an arrogant, conceited, prideful, usurping, rebellious, conceited heart. Now we go back even deeper prophetically in Ezekiel 28. Verse 11, without spending much time in this chapter, says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him. Actually, he's talking about a physical king, but there was a spirit behind the king. Most Bible scholars believe he was referring to Lucifer himself. Because he says, you seal up the summer full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden, the garden of God. Satan was in the garden of God. Amen? The form of a serpent. Every precious stone was your covering, and he names all these different stones and stuff in verse 13. Some scholars believe he was like a walking gem-covered pipe organ. He was just a walking, beautiful, he really was one of the most gorgeous creatures. There's some believe that he was perhaps one of the higher-level archangels, cherubims. Actually, cherubs, because verse 14, it says, verse 13, the last part, you were prepared on the day that you were created. You're the anointed cherub that covers, and I've set you so. You were upon the holy mount of God. You walked up and down the midst of the stone of fire, verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. For verse 17, look at verse 17. For your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You've corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness, and I'll cast you to the ground. I'll lay you before kings that they may behold you. Very similar to Isaiah 14. Pride goes before the fall. Now, that word lifted up in the Hebrew is the word gabah, and it means to be lofty or haughty. See, what it is, Lucifer, or later named Satan, took his eyes off of God and apparently saw himself in the mirror one day. I guess, you know, he was walking by. He saw, whoa, look at that, will you? And that was where his first mistake was. He saw himself. That's where sin entered the universe. Lucifer began to focus on himself, and he liked what he saw. And he became conceited and prideful and fomented thoughts that ultimately culminated in rebellion against God. And you know that when he ended up in the garden, he tempted Eve with the same thing. Remember when he came, Eve, come here. He said, you know, you can be like what? As gods. He tried to appeal. I tried to tempt her to be greater than she was. Really tried to tempt her to fall in the same sin he did. You know, you don't have to serve God. You can be like God. God's not being right to you that you can't eat all the trees in the garden. And pride really went before the fall. Amen. The fall of man. It was pride. Now, if you'll turn to Proverbs 6:16, let me tell you what God's estimation of this is. Pride's a stronghold. Let me show you in a minute. Pride's a spirit. It is a spirit. It's an attitude. It's a choice of the will. But when you yield to it long enough, it's a spirit that can come over you. It's a demon that can live inside and oppress you and manifest through you. But it comes and gets a hold of our life because we're tempted and we yield to the temptation of pride. Proverbs 6:16. You there? Y'all there? These six things the Lord hates. Seven are A-bombs unto him. Abominations. These are God's A-bombs. Luke, what's the first one? Anybody? Haughty eyes or a proud look. That word in the Hebrew is, I don't know how to pronounce this word. Ruim ayin means haughty eyes. God hates haughty eyes. That's the first thing. Well, really, it was the first sin that came into the universe. In fact, just for time's sake, I'm going to show you God's feelings about pride. Look at these verses. We're going to turn them and just put them on the overhead. When I have a bunch of them, I do this. Look at these verses. Can y'all see those?
You can read them.
Verse Psalm 138:6, it says, though the Lord is high, yet has respect to the lowly, but the proud he knows far off. Leviticus 26:19 says, I will break the pride of your power. I'll make heaven as brass. Psalm 12:3, the Lord shall cut off flattering lips, the tongue that speaks proud things. Psalm 101:5 says, whoever slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. He that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Let's see, Psalm 119, you've rebuked the proud that accursed. Proverbs 8, the Lord, fear the Lord is to hate evil and pride. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And then James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists what? The proud, but gives grace to the humble. In fact, now look at the results of pride.
Let's see. Hold on. See if I...
This is what happens. When I have a lot of verses like this, let's put them on the overhead. Be easier turning to them all. A man's pride, it says what? Can you read that? Will bring him low. When pride comes, Proverbs 11, then comes shame. He that is a proud heart of a proud heart stirs up strife. Only by pride, look, comes contention. And look at this one. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we see God in just those verses, God's estimation of pride and the consequences of pride. Look at 2 Samuel 6, if you would. Turn there. Y'all there, 2 Samuel 6? I want to show you a couple of examples of pride and haughtiness in people in the Bible and what happened to them. We're just going to jump in and just look at a verse or two. We're not going to go into all these stories. 2 Samuel 6:20. This was right after David brought up the ark. He was dancing, having a good time, kind of wasn't watching himself. And his wife, who happened to be Saul's daughter, saw him through a window and got all haughty and upset and embarrassed because he was going to make a fool of himself. So in 2 Samuel 6:20, the scene is she's standing at the door with a rolling pin in her hand. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids of the servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. Nothing like coming home to a warm welcome, amen. And David said, he said to Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before your father. I think right there he nailed her. There was bitterness in her because David got the kingdom and her brother and her dad died. He says, and before all his house to appoint me a ruler. Look at verse 22. And I will be yet more vile than this. And I'll be base in my own sight. And of those maidservants whom you spoke of them I'll be in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. She was cursed with barrenness. Bitterness will bring barrenness. Pride can curse you. Came out for the abundance of the heart, what? Came out, there was pride in her heart. She never would let go. In fact, it was a family line sin. Saul was ruled by a demon of jealousy and envy and pride. And it flowed right down into his daughter. Some of y'all are fanning. Are you hot? Let's turn this freezer on here. I'll keep y'all awake. That low burn. There was a low burn. I believe in Michal there was a low burn. She's just a low-level resentment against her husband. And one day it just erupted. Came out. Exploded. Blah, and it cursed her. You know, I remember an instance when we prayed for a woman years ago who could not have a baby. She was barren and could not get pregnant. And you know, excuse me, a lot of times people ask for prayer, you know, and you never know it because every case is different. Every single case is different. But in this particular case, we prayed. And I remember the lady that was with me had a word, a discernment. There was bitterness in this lady's life. Unresolved bitterness. And sure enough, you could see it in her. Well, she subsequently went through some deliverance, dealt with the bitterness, and guess what? She was healed. She was able to bear children. I believe that a lot of times bitterness can bring a curse. Do y'all believe that? Here's another example. 1 Kings 21. Turn over there. This lady, in fact, they even name a demon after her. How would you like to have a demon named after you? Her name was Jezebel. She has quite an honor. She has a demonic namesake after her. But Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, and her daddy was Etbaal, a Satan worshiper. Not too good a family lineage. And Ahab went and married this daughter of a Satan worshiper and brought in all kind of calamity into Israel. But man, I tell you, this was a wicked woman. She was a controlling witch. And not to go into the story, I just jump in. One point, she was always controlling behind the scenes. But here's a classic one. One day Ahab, who was a real wimp, man, he was just a Harvey Milquetoast wimp type guy. Didn't have a spine. You know, checked his spine in at the door when he walked in. And one day he wanted to have this garden that was next to his castle or whatever. And he went and asked the guy, he said, no, I'm not giving you my garden. And he went and apparently curled up in the bed in a fetal position. Let's see. 1 Kings 21:4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken. For he said, I will not give you the inheritance, my father. And he laid upon his bed and turned away his face and wouldn't eat. This is the king. This is the king. I see him sucking his thumb in a fetal position. Not fair. Guy's a wimp. But Jezebel, his wife, came and said, why is your spirit so sad? You can see the syrupy voice. Dear, why is your spirit so sad that you eat no bread? And he said, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said, give me the vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard. And he said, I'll not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel's wife said, do you not govern the kingdom of Israel? It's interesting. She's saying, you're the king. Who's the king? I saw a bumper sticker once. Don't blame me. I didn't vote for Jezebel. Sorry. No correlation to any previous administration here. Please do not relate this to anything previous. I still got that bumper sticker. Different name, though. I was just hanging around my intern. It's okay. You're the president. Okay. And she said, Jezebel, do you not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be merry. Listen, I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Whoa. You will do it. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and we don't need to go into it. She basically got a couple of guys to go falsely accuse him and have him falsely accuse that he blasphemed God, and he was stoned till he was dead. And then she went back and said, dear, he's dead now. You can have the vineyard. And Ahab went, thank you, dear. And he went to the vineyard, and he's standing around the vineyard just going, mine, mine, mine. And all of a sudden, Elijah the prophet, and I'll tell you, Elijah the prophet comes up to him. I love this verse. He says, thus saith the Lord, you have killed. And Ahab goes, me? Not me, my wife. Me. I was asleep. She did it, you know. Who did God come after? Ahab. Did you know when a man abdicates his responsibility and lets his wife rule him, he has brought wickedness into that house? Can you imagine? This is one of the classic verses. The sin of Ahab lit the fire in Jezebel. And in God's eyes, he was a wimp. And the judgment was on Ahab. More than Jezebel. Oh, Jezebel got hers. They said they shall not find the burial ground for Jezebel. She was eaten of dogs. Not a pretty picture. But the judgment of God. And you know, when you find a man that is unwilling to walk with the Lord and be the high priest of his family, you know what I'm saying? And walk with the Lord. And follow God and bring his family into order. He tempts his wife to become a Jezebel. Does anybody know anybody like that? And unfortunately, you got churches full of these. You got churches full of women that love Jesus. And the husbands are home with the beer can watching the sports. Sure, honey, go do a little prayer meeting. And then in a lot of cases, she's miserable, tormented, or she becomes a Jezebel. A witch. She can move into witchcraft. And you know, there are more churches that are run by witches I'm talking spirit-filled charismatic churches, and they're run by charismatic witches. And these are a lot of them women whose husbands don't want to follow Jesus, or they just kind of do it, you know, superficial. And they release that hurt, and it comes out into control, and the women begin to control the church and control the pastor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a Jezebel spirit, and it can divide churches. A lot of churches in this town are ruled by Jezebel, believe me. Because the pastors themselves are Ahabs. Because they got Jezebel wives. Don't y'all like this teaching? You don't often hear this, see? Now, you know, we need to have a conference on Jezebel spirits. And I'm serious. You know, women, a lot of you ladies, it'd be good to come and have a ladies' meeting and have some mass deliverance and cast those Jezebels out of you. Can you hear that? And how about you men? Some of those Ahab spirits in you. Passive. Letting the women, huh? Come on. Yes, dear? You know what's so sad? Did you know these sitcoms? You know, in our culture, it is common for the woman to be the strong one and the man to be the wimp. Can you hear amen? That's because Jezebel rules over this nation. Spirit of Jezebel ruled in Texas until Ann Richards lost her job. Spirit of Jezebel ruled in Houston until Kathy Whitmer lost her job. Spirit of Jezebel ruled over America till George Bush came in. Thank you for George Bush. Get in the mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 30, verse 13. I'm just showing you pride and haughtiness. Pride and haughty spirits. This is not the stuff you get at the typical church, this kind of teaching. You know why? Because the typical church is full of Jezebels. Start preaching on Jezebel and Ahab, half the church gets out and leaves. Yeah, but the ones on the left, you'll have church. Amen? Hallelujah. You heard of church growth seminars? We're in church minimizing seminars. Church reduction. Your church is too fat. Need deliverance. Trim that church down. Give me a church of 600. I'll get it down to 60 in a month. Mean and lean. Right? You say, where's that in the Bible? Read John 6. John 6. They want to make him king. He started saying all kind of things, ran them all off. John 6:66. You know what John 6:66 says? John 6:66 says, and many left him. Then he's down to 12. He turned to them. He says, will you go? I'm sure they looked around. Peter said, to whom should we go? You're the words of eternal life. And you know what he said then? You know what he said then? Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon? And walked away. Read it, John chapter 6. Now, Christ apparently never went to one of those church growth seminars, unfortunately. But you know what? He got 12 guys, well, 11 in the end, and they were serious disciples. And do you know those 11 guys we have to thank tonight? Those 11 guys. Because of those 11 hardened disciples, we are saved. That's God's way. Amen. It's called church dieting, trimming off the fat. Proverbs 30, verse 13. It can't be 30:13. Wait, I'm in Psalms. Hello. Palm. Somebody said palms. No, it's Proverbs 30:13. Y'all there? Oh, look at this. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. He's describing generations. He said there's certain generations that are full of haughtiness. And I made my notes. America, the last 8 years. You know, Israel was very haughty at points. Look at Judges 17. I'm going to show you one of the generations when they were like that. Just a whole generation was full of themselves, full of haughtiness. Judges 17:6. Turn there. Y'all know what Judges is? It's right after Joshua, which is right after the it's the seventh book in the Bible. Is that right? Judges 17:6. Look at this verse. It says, where am I at? It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see that verse? And in other words, they did whatever they felt was right. They were full of themselves. There was no king. They did what was right in their own eyes. And the next couple of chapters is crazy. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Some guy named Micah got him a Levite. You know, found a Levite, and hired him, and brought his ephod and his little icons and said, now God will help me because I got a Levite. And they had some false god. And then these bunch of these guys in the Danites, the tribe of Dan came, and they stole the Levite, said, we want the Levite. So they stole him from this guy and threatened to kill him because he was a good luck charm. And they went and slaughtered all these people because they had the Levite with them. I mean, total religious deception. Then in chapter 19, you see this guy coming along, and he had a concubine. And he went into this town, and all these homosexual sodomite perverts banged on the door, wanted to rape the man. Just like, remember Lot? Remember that they did that with Lot? Did you know that same story happened here in the next chapter or two? And what the guy did, this is horrible, man. He said, no, no, the guy, host, don't rape my visitor. Here, take my daughter or his concubine and rape them all night, but leave my visitor alone. Right? This isn't Judges. Now, I know, this is worse than Jerry Springer. It's in the Bible. And so the homosexuals, perverts, raped the concubine all night. And do you know what happened? The next morning, he opens the door, he sees her scratching at the door, dead, and he says, get up, let's go. That's what it says. Wasn't much respect for women in those days. And then he found out she was dead. So you know what he did? He took her body and he cut her body in 12 pieces and he sent it to the 12 tribes. This is in Judges. I'm telling you what's in there. And so the 12 tribes all came together because they had pieces of a woman's body and they were all going to go slaughter the Benjamites. So they get in this battle to kill the Benjamites and they almost wiped the tribe out. You know, the point I'm trying to make is this is in the time when there was no king in Israel and every man lived by his own eyes. The point I'm making is it was nuts. It was crazy. You can't hardly find in the Bible crazy times like these latter chapters of Judges. It's because everybody lived by their own will. There is a way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof is death. And look at Judges 21, 25. He ends the book with this same verse. Look at this. Amazing. The last verse of Judges says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. See, pride and haughtiness will make you nuts. You'll do stupid things, insane things, crazy things, and you'll think it's God. They thought this Levite was like a good luck charm. Pride and haughtiness will get you to turn you religious. Religious. And fetishes and charms and hexes, which you call icons, you call religious articles. And you know certain denominations and certain philosophies believe in this God. And it's religious garbage from hell. It's not the Lord. And it's all rooted in pride and hardness, living. There's no king. What that took that to mean is there's no leader willing to preach the word of God uncompromisingly. And you know, I was reading through these chapters and you know, this is really scary. Some of those chapters of the perversion, the sodomy, the homosexuality, the all of this stuff. I said, you know, that looks like some churches today. Because there's no king. There's nobody willing to stand up for righteousness of Jesus. Can I have a man? It's a sad depiction of the fruit of pride. Pride will get you thinking all kind of things are of God. You know? Look at Proverbs 16:18. I'm just talking here tonight about love is not puffed up. And I want to look in the scripture about it. And then we're going to have deliverance in just a minute. Hold on. Y'all have seen this, right? I can turn it off. Where are we at? Proverbs 16:18. Just a few more places here. I want to conclude. I really have enjoyed this series. I get the word all week on it. There's just so much. 16:18 reads, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. Now, I want to make a point about that verse. I want you to look at that verse real hard. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit. Is how your versions read? I want you to hear something really clear. Pride is a spirit. Haughtiness is a spirit. You know, there are only so many things that are called spirits in the Bible. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, we're not given a spirit of what? Jealousy is a spirit. Antichrist is a spirit. Lying is a spirit. Bondage is a spirit. Romans 8, each one of these are scriptures. Now, I don't believe to call everything a spirit. But I like to call what the Bible calls a spirit, and pride and haughtiness is a spirit. There's a spirit of pride that can envelop an individual, a family, a company, a church, or a nation. It's interesting. This just popped in my mind. It's not my notes. But did you know that God told in the book of Ezekiel, he said the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, if somebody ever asked you, why did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed, you would probably immediately say, well, because of the perversion and the homosexuality, right? But you know what it says in Ezekiel? This just popped to my mind. Hang on, if I can find it. He says, no, that isn't the reason Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. It was. Does anybody know where that verse is? You know what I'm talking about? Here it is. No. Huh? It says, yes, Ezekiel 16:49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. And that describes the United States of America. Pride, that's what the sin of Sodom was, pride, fullness of bread, and lots of idle time. Ezekiel 16:49. Did you know the reason homosexuality rules in America is because of the idleness? People sit around and watch this garbage on TV written by homosexual perverts. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I offending anyone? Look, love the sinner but hate the sin. But I'm so disgusted by the sodomization of America. One thing I like about George Bush, they asked him in one of the debates about about whether homosexuals should get married. And his response was, what? What? Like, how stupid. I mean, I laughed it. I couldn't believe it. Someone in the party actually sees it the way it really is. It's stupid. Yes, it's stupid. He said, no, I don't believe that. That was refreshing. After 8 years of Clinton's first act in office. You know what his first act in office in 1992 was? Had to do with the gays in the military. I mean, he set it in, the homosexuality. Do you know his administration in the waning years? They say almost one out of four was a homosexual or a lesbian. Thank you, Jesus. And that Al Gore, he was full of homosexual support and totally homosexual. Thank the Lord. God's given us a window in America. Can you hear an amen? But don't kid yourself, man. George Bush is just a light before the big darkness comes in. If you know the Bible, I mean, it's sweeping the world. But God, I think George Bush is an answer to a lot of Christians praying. I really do. Give us a breather before the tough times come. Whew. Oh, Lord. Anyway, how to get into that? Where am I at? It's a spirit. You got to recognize it's a demon, and it speaks and it whispers with little suggestions. Pride does, and haughtiness does. Look what they said to you. You don't deserve that. Look, well, you should put up with that. Well, you have rights here. You should demand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a spirit. Now let me show you how the demon up. This is incredible. Well, this is why I got attacked. Demons do not want you to. It's on tape. Joshua 15. I'm going to show you a revelation on how the demon of pride, how haughty he gets inside of people. Joshua 15:63. We're going to go through a couple of verses here about Jerusalem. Joshua 15:63, an incredibly obscure little verse. I love digging up gold out of the word. It says, you there, Joshua 15:63, as for the Jebusites, who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites will dwell with the children of Judah in Jerusalem unto this day. And that was done in 1444 B.C. Judah could not drive out. You remember the command was when you go to the promised land, drive out the inhabitants. Amen? But they couldn't drive out the Jebusites from this city in 1444 B.C. Okay, about 26 years later, see, 19 years later, turn to Judges 1:21. Next book, Judges 1:21. About 19 or so, 20 years later, 1425 B.C., Judges 1:21 says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. So we see the Judah tribe couldn't drive out the Jebusites out of Jerusalem. And then about 20 years later, the Benjamite tribe couldn't drive out the Jebusites. They were a tough bunch. And Judges 19 now, turn there. Verse 9. This is just going to give you an example. This is in 1402 B.C. This is about 23 years after that. We're going to show you the Jebusites were pretty locked in. Judges 19:9. This is kind of the jumping in the story I just told about the concubine. says, and when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, the day draws to the evening. I pray, tarry all night. Behold, the day grows to an end. Lodge here, that your heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way. This is Judges 19:10. But the man would not tarry that night, and he rose up and departed, and he came over near Jebus, which is Jerusalem. He came near this city that was full of Jebusites. And there were with him two donkeys, saddle, and his concubine. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said, well, come, I pray, and let's turn into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. But his master said, no, we will not turn into this city of a stranger that's not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. So they went to another town. In other words, the guy would not go into Jerusalem because it was still inhabited by the Jebusites. It was quite inhospitable. It was not a place an Israelite would want to even spend the night. Are y'all with me? This is 1402 B.C. Jebus had still not been conquered. It was inhospitable to the Israelites. Now, did you know that almost 400 years later, 2 Samuel 5, they were still there? 400 years later. We're now at 1048 B.C. The Jebusites were still lodged in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a pretty important city. Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking the eternal city of God. And there's a real teaching here. Sometimes that which the enemy holds the strongest, when liberated, becomes the very strongest part of your nature. Well, in 2 Samuel 5, verse 6, King David's on the scene. This is 400 years later. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. They're still there. Now look at this. Who spoke to David and said, except you take away the blind and the lame, you shall not come in hither. Thinking, David can't come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, whoever gets up to the gutter or into this house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. This is incredible. These Jebusites had gotten so pompous, arrogant, and haughty, because they never got thrown. They saw all their other nations thrown out, but the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they were there for hundreds of years. Nobody could ever get them out. And so they got so full of themselves that apparently, on the city gates, they put blind and lame people to guard. They had blind guys and lame guys guarding the city gates. Do you see that? And so when David came up, they were back way up inside the hole and said, nobody can get us out. They have tried for hundreds of years. Just send another contingent of blind. Some more blind guys got up there, you know, waving a white cane. They were haughty. They were very confident. And I want to tell you something. That's exactly how demonic strongholds are in a lot of people. Exactly. Believe me, you go for deliverance. You try and try, and the demon says, give me a break. I ain't coming out. And look, I've looked into the eyes of a Jebusite, of a demon like that. It looks at me. I mean, it's almost like we say he's got his feet up on the desk. He's got a cigar out. Kind of goes, who are you kidding? Me come out? I've been here for years. I was in their granddad and their great-granddad. This is my house. Turns to read the newspaper. In this middle of a deliverance session, I've seen those devils. Haughty spirits. Am I showing you that it's a spirit? See, the Jebusites were so confident they put blind people on the gate. Do you know, that's what Satan does in deliverance. He'll throw the little nickel and dime demons up. Oh, yeah, lust, anger. You know, throw those out. A couple of token demons. Oh, deliverance, deliverance, you know. But the big guy down there just kind of yawns, lights up another cigar, says, I rule. What did Jesus say about deliverance? He said, you got to go to a house, and first you got to bind who? The strong man. He said, when you're biting a strong man, then you can plunder his good. You got to discern who's the boss. Usually the first one in is the last one out. And when the first one in, he pulls in other guys. But there's a haughtiness in the demonic world. There's a pride. And it's a spirit. And the first thing is we've got to see it's a spirit and got to understand this stuff in the spiritual realm. I'm trying to show you in the Word so you get revelation from God so you can understand the structure of the stronghold and the attitude of the devil towards you. That Satan does not respect us. He thinks of us as mud balls. I actually had a demon once say, humans are dust balls. We're made dust to dust. They have no respect for us. There's just places they can hide and abide. And they got most of the church convinced that demons can't even be in Christians. When you're born again, you're somehow oppressed. But that's not what the Greek reads at all. The word demonosomai means to have a demon. What do they think of casting demons out of? Light poles? It says, you shall cast out demons out of dogs? Come on! Pigs? He sent them into pigs. They weren't kosher. He saw that big thing of pigs out there? Said, you know, if I don't do something with them, they're going to slaughter them and feed them to the Jews. So he dealt with them. Pigs are smart. They get full of demons. They go kill themselves. They don't like demons. Right? If a pig gets a demon in himself, he just drowns. I don't want to have a demon in me. I'd rather die. We humans, we're not as smart as a pig. Oh, a demon in me? Well, I guess I can abide with it. Am I? Hello? Anybody out there? Come on. I find the only people that ever get delivered are the ones that are ready to die. Would rather die than live with a stupid demon. That's when you about get delivered. Amen? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be free. You see this thing? I'm telling you, you ought to read this in different versions. This is exactly as it is. They were so haughty, they put blind and lame people out there. And I have seen that. I had somebody up here about three Fridays ago. She's not here tonight. And we were coming against, she's lots of sickness all over her body. And we were coming against that devil. And I, listen, she says, is Hispanic. A lot of y'all are Hispanic. And there is such a curse come down onto the Hispanics, particularly if you're from Mexico. The curse, it was at the Aztecs. In Mexico, the child sacrifice, the worship of false gods. But the Lord was speaking to me recently, I was sharing this with you guys, it's not just that, it's the Spaniards too. The vicious conquistadors, right? The murder, slaughtering, greed. Is that how you say it? Conquistadors? Conquistadors? It's the curse of the two. You had the conquistadors, the Spanish, murdering, slaughtering, vicious, greed, intermingle with races of people that offered their children to the god, the Aztec gods, the sun god, basically the god Ra. It's the same god that was in Egypt. They both had pyramids. You ever notice? You ever compare the Egyptian pyramids and the only difference is the Mexicans have steps. Same demon! In fact, if you look at the Mexican god, it's the same thing as the god Ra over Egypt. Same demon! Just a little bit of coloration for the different area. And, you know, we deal with that. And those things go down generations. And sometimes you pray deliverance for someone that is Mexican, these are curses. And I have seen those demons kind of rise up and look at me with a cigar, with their feet on the desk. And, who are you kidding? I've been in here generations. And it makes me mad. Because I want to learn how to cast out demons. I want to see people get free. I don't care who they are. I don't care whether you're American Indian, you got the Cherokee junk in you. My gosh. Cherokee demon. Woo! You know, and you get into this stuff. You start learning what people's real problems are. You lift the hood, you go, my gosh. No carburetor, no engine. That can't be true. Drive on. I'm telling you, David found a way. You want to see it? This is so fine. I like this. How did he take the city? You got to look at those different versions. Here he says in King James, whoever gets up to the gutter and smites the Jebusites. I looked at this in different versions. Basically what David did, after all these hundreds of years, He said, there's only one way to get into the Jebusites, and it's through the area where they get their water. Living Bible calls it the water tunnel. Apparently, he went in through the aqueduct or whatever, and crawled in and took them from within like the Trojan horse. So I was praying about that. I said, Lord, the Lord showed me this a couple of years ago, and I've used it in deliverance sessions, and it works. Particularly these haughty demons. I said, Lord, I know this is a type, the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians 10, Romans, I think 15, talks about the old things in the Old Testament written as examples of the new. I said, Lord, what is the type of this for us? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, John 4 and John 7. John 4, Jesus said, I will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7, he said, and out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. I felt like the Lord said, you got to get them from the water tunnel. When you got a haughty demon in there with his feet up on the desk, he's been in now generations, you just call forth the waters. You see, if you're born again, Jesus is in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Can you hear an amen? That's what it says. And but his desire, John 4, is to get us to John 7, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers! So what I've done in sessions, when I got that haughty demon, I say, okay, we're going to get you through the water tunnel. In the name of the Lord, I call forth the waters to rise up. Rise up, O waters. Spring forth, O well. Wasn't that? Spring forth, O well. Father, come, send the Holy Ghost and rise up. And I get the person to begin to sing and speak in tongues. Begin to worship in the Spirit. And you know what? As you worship in the Spirit, you begin to prime the pump. Prime the pump. And the water begins to flow. You mean the guy takes his feet off the desk because the water's rising and it's getting all wet. And he's his cigar's wet and he's freaking out. It works. Satan didn't want you to hear that. You know the revelation is? If you got a problem with haughty pride in your life, I'm going to tell you how to get free. Sing in tongues. Let the waters flow. It's that simple. Through the water tunnel, man. Let it flow. Some of us are stuck in John 4. I will be in you, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. But he wants us to move us to John 7. Out of your bellies will flow. When you begin to let the waters that are inside of you as a born-again believer flow out of you in worship, praise, and adoration of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whatever's inside of you is going to get shook and freaked out. And start manifesting and looking for the suitcase to get away. I'm serious. The key to deliverance is worship and praise the King of Kings. To lock in a discipline of worship and adoration to Jesus. When you begin to let the water tunnels be filled with water and worship Jesus. I'm telling you, God can dislodge 400 years of curses in your life. Can you hear an amen? You know, the Lord showed me some years ago. When you get into the deliverance, the Word of God opens up. All of this stuff's in the Word. The Word's full of this stuff. The revelation God gives us to set us free. One last place, 1 Peter 5, before we pray. Remember Peter? We started out with him. Haughty Peter, boasting pride. Oh, Lord, though they all forsake thee, not I. We'll look at the end of his life. Peter went through it, man. I mean big time. In 1 Peter 5:5, likewise you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Now I like this. Stop right there. He says, okay, let's do the proper order now. Younger, submit yourself to the elder. And then it's like the Holy Ghost says, now deeper in that. So then he says, okay, all of you, be subject to everybody. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. And gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, Peter was delivered. Amen? Peter understood. Peter got to the place where God could use him because he broke the stronghold of haughty pride. And the one thing I hope we can take home with us tonight is that pride is a spirit. That doesn't mean every time you get prideful, a demon is operating. No. Prideful can also be an attitude. fact, this is all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, when you yield to the attitude of pride long enough, a spirit will get a hold of you. A haughty spirit. And it blinds you. And you get religious and phony. And justify yourself at all turns. And you're incredibly demonized. Some of the most demonized people in the world are religious people. Give me a stone drunk in the gutter any day over a religious person. Amen? Because the stone drunk, even homosexual, will come stumbling in here because he's fixing to die. The religious person glances at this church on Fairmont and just lifts up his nose and sniffs and says, "Can I amen? It's true. You want to take that over there? Praise God. Let's all stand. We're going to have mass deliverance tonight. Hallelujah. Alan, come on up, brother. Now listen. Don't let pride get a hold of you tonight. Oh, I don't need prayer. You know, I like to make it where it's real easy. I want to encourage everybody to come up front. Because I know there ain't a person in this room that doesn't struggle with pride somewhere. So just everybody come up. So if you're saying, well, I don't know, come on. Can you push that front row back, please? Just push it back. Everybody come up front. Just kind of fill in the sides. Come on. We're just going to have prayer here for a few minutes. A nice little prayer. And then we'll go home. Because, you know, can we fill out over here to the side, guys, please? Fill in over here because we got a bunch of people coming up. Can we fill in over there? Might have to push that row back a little further. I want everybody to come up to the front. It's just a statement saying, I'm here, I'm ready. Like, you might have to push those rows back a little bit so you're not quite squinched in. But don't be too prideful about it. Okay, praise God. The bottom line is the Holy Spirit's come tonight and He's anointed the Word and He's anointed the worship. And He wants to set us free. Can you hear it, amen? And here's the good news. The good news is God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And all you have to do is humble yourself, man. And so we're going to pray. And what I want you to pray right now is I want you to ask Jesus to forgive you for any pride that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of tonight. Okay? I'm certain the Holy Spirit has spoken to each one of us and pricked our heart. And we said, yeah, man, yeah, I listen to that voice. I have a tendency to kind of swagger and, you may be a man, yeah, I hang up my spine at the door, you know. You may be a woman, yeah, I tend to be pushing and controlling. You know, just humble yourself. Can we do that? Let's pray right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say this, Jesus, I confess my sin of pride and haughtiness. Okay, now right now, you to Jesus, tell Him in your own words, under your breath, however you want to do it in your mind, just confess that sin. Just tell Him. He already knows it, but He wants to hear you say it. Just confess it. Come on. Right now. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. Just humble yourself. Say, Jesus, I saw it tonight, man. I see it. I don't want it. Boy, the Holy Ghost is convicting me tonight. I don't want to be like that. I don't want all that destruction and damage. And be, you know, pride can make me sick. I don't want to be sick. Come on. Confess your sins to Jesus right now. Humble yourself to Jesus. Humble yourself to Jesus right now. He's stuck. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Humble yourself to Jesus. Jesus. Come on. Own it, man. Own it. Some of y'all are justifying yourself. Some of y'all are in relationships and you've got yourself all justified that why you don't need to go to that brother or that sister and humble yourself. You know, whatever you do, Jesus said, to the least of these, what? You do to me. And you know, some of y'all right need it now need to let go of any bitterness or judgment you got against somebody or you've been hanging onto your rights. You know, it's not who's right or who's wrong. It's who's loving. Get away from the tree of right and wrong. Go over to the tree of life. It's who's loving. Ask God to forgive you for your prideful, self-righteous ways, self-justification. Humble yourself, man. If we had a glimpse of the way we really were, if we just had a little glimpse of who we really were, I tell you, you'd shrink in horror. And that's the truth. You know what I mean? I mean, we would freak out if God really showed us the way we really were. But He's given us a couple little glimpses tonight, just enough that we can handle. So we go, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be this way. I want to get free. I don't want pride to rule me anymore. It just blinds me and binds me. and it repulses me and everybody around me. Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I say this, Lord, I receive your forgiveness and the cleansing of your blood. And I choose right now to forgive myself. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. Did you know you're forgiven right now? It's as if you never did it. Is grace a good deal of what? God gives what? Grace to the humble. It's right there. We'll see. You're forgiven, man. You are forgiven. Now I want you to forgive yourself right now. Come on, forgive yourself. Get yourself, quit trying to be better. Quit trying to fix it. Don't feel guilty. Just say, Jesus, here, I am a mess. You fix it. All I do is make it worse. That is such a healthy thing to say. Say that to the Lord. Lord, I'm a mess, and I'm going to let you do it because I just make it worse. Come on, man. That's the best thing you could ever say. I ain't going to quit. I'm going to quit fixing me. As of tonight, I am not my own project anymore. I'm your deal. In fact, teach me how to stay out of the mess because I just make it worse. I just want to learn to worship you and to let that water tunnel be filled with praise. That's my job, is to fill my spirit with praise and worship of Jesus, wherever I'm at. And he does the delivering. Y'all got that tonight? Did you get that revelation? That you are not your project? Jesus. Jesus is the only one can fix this, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Now say this, Satan, you heard me pray. You saw Jesus forgive me. And I declare to you, in the name of Jesus, you have no place. You have no space. You have no grace with me. And I command the demon of pride and haughtiness, self-righteousness, self-justification, rationalization, tendency to blame, I command the spirit to be gone from my mind, to be gone from my emotions, to be gone from off my spirit, to leave my body in the authority of Jesus Christ. I declare war on you, pride. I'm not going to buy your lies or listen to your suggestions or yield to your whisperings. Father, give me wisdom from heaven to see this demon's lies before he even speaks. And when he whispers, to immediately recognize it's a demon. Teach me to humble myself to God, to resist the devil, and to watch him flee. Thank you, Father, for light and revelation to deliver me from every stronghold in my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, give the Lord a clap offering tonight. Hallelujah. Now that's the preface. Now I'm going to take authority over these spirits. Well, I've got a list here. This is in our preparation for deliverance manual. There's a bunch of them. Now, these are different manifestations. This is the way pride manifests, and some of these may be applicable to you, and some of them may be applicable to others. I'm just going to go through this list, and I'm going to begin in the name of Jesus to command these. You see, I believe spirits, pride's a spirit, but it manifests in each person differently, you know, according to your personality, your experience, your history, whatever. So as I command these things to come out of you, I want you to just, in the name of Jesus, you be in an attitude of resistance, because the Bible says, resist the devil and what? So you just be in an attitude of resistance. Now spirits come out. The word spirit in the Greek and the Hebrew is the same word for the word breath, pneuma and ruach, and it means breaths. And spirit, the Holy Spirit is a wind, and spirits can come out in breaths. Now, as I begin to command these things to come out, you may want to yawn. I know when I get deliverance, I tend to yawn. That's how they manifest through me. Sometimes I do that, you know, and people go, he's either tired or he's getting delivered, one or the other. But it may be you yawning, or it may be coughing or gagging or throwing them up. But usually, I would say 90% of the time, it's no more than, it's a release. It's breathe out. So as I take authority over these spirits, I want you to breathe them out in Jesus' name. The ushers, I need y'all to have some paper towels in case there's some real deliverance going on. The usher will come. Just raise your hand like this. He'll give you something. Look, don't be ashamed. The whole idea is to get these things out. Can you hear me? And you're in a deliverance session right now, and we're about getting them out. Don't worry about, don't be full of pride worrying about what anybody thinks. We're getting delivered tonight. All you got to do is stand there and agree and let them out in Jesus' name. I'll command them. Father, I thank you for the authority we have as sons of God. And you said whatever we ask on earth, whatever we bind on earth, whatever we loose on earth is the same as done in heaven, Lord. And I thank you that you gave us authority to tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Lord, I thank you that we're more than conquerors through him. Lord, I thank you that nothing you said in the world will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, we've overcome the world. And Lord, I thank you that we have authority tonight, and in the name and the power and authority of Jesus, you said we could cast out devils. And Father, I address this crowd of folks here that have humbled themselves to Jesus, that really want to be free. Lord, I pray as I begin to speak to these spirits to come out, I pray that you would loose the angels of God in this room. I pray you'd send lots of angels with drawn swords and tongs and hooks and grab a hold of these things and pull them out of the souls, out of the minds, out of the organs in the body, Lord. I pray there would be deliverance of incredible depth as I begin to command these things to come out, that the angels of God would come into the room and begin to deliver us. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I speak to agitation. Agitation. Come on, out in the name of the always being agitated. Irritableness. Irritableness. Come on, touchiness. Touchy irritableness, come out. Come on, leave. Always touchy, always very oversensitiveness. Come on, be part of this. Just receive. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. Touchiness in Jesus' name. Come on in the name of the Lord. Oh, basi tatarama. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come on, irritable spirit. Come on. Come on. Oversensitivity in the name of Jesus. Touchiness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, touchy in the name of Jesus. All about the agitation, always agitated with other people. The irritability. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on, Jesus' name. Easily agitated and upset. Just easily agitated. Easily agitated. Easily angered. Come on. Popping off anger. Come on. Take a deep breath. Come out in Jesus' name. Beat your power tonight. Easily agitated in Jesus' name. Come on. Always competing with others. Always striving in relationships. Relationships striving. Always trying to be like other people. Come on. Leave. I beat your power of that lie in Jesus' name. Come on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Superiority. Always thinking you're better than somebody else. Always judging others. Always kind of looking down at others and thinking you're better and more macho or you could do it better. I beat the power of that. Come on in the name of the Lord. Pride of education. Pride of knowledge. Come on in Jesus' name. Pride of knowledge. Pride of what you know. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Let them go. Pride of your position. You know, pride of your job. Pride of your education. Tend to look at other people, kind of despise them and look down like the Pharisee did to the publican. Come on. Pride of money. Pride of your money. Pride of life. Pride of intellectualism. Come on. Pride of how you look. Come on. Pride of your beauty. Pride of your appearance. Come on. Vanity. Vanity. Come on. Always having to look at yourself in the mirror. Come on. Vanity. Self-focus in the name of Jesus. Come on. Take authority over that. Command it to go. Break its power. Come on, vanity. Vain. The voices of vanity. Always feeling all the opposite. Hating yourself. Not liking yourself. Despising yourself. Not liking yourself. Always wishing like you were somebody else. Come on. Always wishing like you were somebody else. Come on. Striving. Always impatient. Not being satisfied with what you have. Envious. And jealousy of what other people have. Come on. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Take the power of these devils. Take the power of this spirit. Pride, come on. Intolerance. Intolerance of others in Jesus' name. Prejudice. Prejudice, come out in the name of love. Bigotry, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Intolerance of others. That feeling that I was born of a higher caste or a higher bloodline. Take the curse of that in Jesus' name. Your parents always said to you, well, you're better than that. You're better than that. That pride that was instilled on you. Oh, come on, I take the power of that in Jesus' name tonight, in the name of the Lord. Come on, prima donna. Little prima donna, everybody's got a skirt around you. Everybody, come on, are y'all getting delivered out there? Come on, pretty prima donna, everybody's got a skirt, everybody's got to cater to you. People are kind of scared to talk to you because they got to make you feel just right. Come on, in the name of Jesus, prima donna spirit, come on. Lofty looks, haughty eyes, come on in Jesus' name. Oh, Takidawa, come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Conceited. Conceit. Come out of that. Beat your power. Come on. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Let it go tonight in Jesus' name. Egotistical. Egocentric. Always thinking about yourself. Self-focus in the name of Jesus. Self-importance. Come on. As I call these things out, you let them go. If that's hitting the bell in you, you go, yeah, man, I don't want that in me. Go, Satan. Go, in the name of Jesus. Resist the devil. Self-centeredness. Come on. Always talking about yourself. Always talking about yourself. Always turn the conversation back to yourself. Self-exalting. Self-importance. Self-ambition. Come on. Selfishness. Get out of there in Jesus' name. That lying thing that always makes you feel rejected, like people don't love you unless they're talking about you. That's self-pity. Self-pity. I beat the power of that self-pity. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I beat your power. Come on. Self-pity in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority. Self-justification. Always justifying yourself. Always blaming others. Self-righteousness. Come on. I beat your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Let these saints go tonight. Come on out of their souls. I beat your power, devil. I cast you out tonight. Come on in the name of Jesus. Haughty spirits. Haughtiness. Arrogant haughtiness. I break your authority tonight. Come out of these seats. Come on. If you need something, raise your hand. If you need a Kleenex or something, raise your hand. I beat your power. Come on out. Take authority. Come on. Take a deep breath, man. Let it out of your diaphragm. I tell you to cast that devil out of you tonight. Holy Ghost is here to release you tonight. Come on. Don't miss it. Don't let pride get in the way. It's stupid. Pride is stupid. It's Luciferian, man. Get that devil out of your life. Holier than thou. Holier than thou. Come on. Always feeling you're more important than others. Always insisting on having your way. Intellectual pride. Pride in your knowledge. Pride in your intellectual ability. Pride that you're smarter than other people. Come on, arrogance, come out in Jesus' name. I beat your power in Jesus' name. Come on, intellectualism in the name of the Lord. Come out in the name of the Lord. Or feeling that you're not as smart as other people. Beating yourself up. Come on, self-hate, self-demeaning. Come on, always envying others. Beat the power of those devils. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, fight, fight. You know, you don't get free unless you fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Come on, insolence. Insolence. Some of y'all are real insolent against your parents and you brought a curse into your life. You were insolent against your parents. You spoke against your parents. You blasphemed your parents. You cursed your parents. Man, you better repent of that. That'll bring a curse in your life. The Bible says to honor your mother and father, the fifth commandment. Repent right now. You cursed your parents. You let pride rule you over your parents. You spoke evil of your parents. You've cursed them. Come on, repent of that. There's a curse in your life. It'll go down to your children. It could cause you to get sick. It could bring diseases in your life. Repent of that. God wants to deliver you from the curses. Break it. Renounce the sin. Come out of their curses. I break your power. Name of the Lord Jesus. Leave these saints tonight. Oh, impatience and intolerance with others come out in Jesus' name. Come on, scornful spirits, mocking spirits, mocking attitude, mocking. Oh, mocking. Come on, devils. I break your power. Come on, scorn. Scorn, spite, spite, resentment, resentment. Beat your power. Come on. Take a deep breath tonight. Come on, let it out in Jesus' name. More concerned with your own interests than in others. Overbearing, perfectionism. Everything's got to be perfect. Oh, Talabasana, absolute perfectionism. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on, extremism. Extremism, come out in the name of Jesus. I take your power over these saints tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, takisatarama, sophistication, idleness. Oh, lamasita, dictatorial. Controlling and manipulative. Come on, Jezebel spirits. Jezebel, I pick the power of Jezebel tonight in Jesus' name. You Jezebelian spirits, I pick your power in the name of, pick the power of those Jezebel. Pick your power. Come on in the name of Jesus. I devil, I hand you to Lucy saints tonight. Pick your power. Ahabian spirits, pastor spirits, Ahab spirits, pick your power. Come out of the saints. Ahab, wimps, wimp spirit, wimp. Fear of man, fear what men think. Pick your power. Come out. Fear what people think. Fear of being rejected. Fear. Come on, man. Take a deep breath. Oh, labakita laba. Condescending. Always condescending to others. Oh, labasida labo kundi di bakita laba. Boastfulness. Come on. Bragging. All that argumentation and arrogant argumentation. Come out in Jesus' name. Stiff-necked. Stubbornness. God's got to beat you over the head to get you to obey him. Come on, stubbornness. Willfulness, rebellion. Come out in the name of Jesus. Rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Speaking evil of authority. Backbiting against authority. Gossiping against authority. I can do it my own way. Everything's right in my own eyes. I pick your power. Come on, devil. Makes you crazy, man. Come on in Jesus. Self-righteousness, haughty eyes. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Rotika, comparing yourself to others. Come on in the name of Jesus. We're going through these. Smugness, sophistication, barrenness, spiritually barren. Dryness, spiritual dryness. You know, the Bible says rebellious will dwell in a dry land. I pick the power of that rebellion. I pick it. Come out. God wants to fill your life with living water. He wants to fill you with water. He wants to flood water in your life. Deliver you from the barrenness. Pick the power of barrenness tonight. All religious spirits, ritualism, religion, traditionism has to have things certain ways. Come on in Jesus' name. Wanting recognition of others. Come on, theatrics. Always having to act everything out. Come on, let it go, break it. Take it, tell the devil, go. Always desiring attention, drawing attention to yourself, craving attention. Needing people to be attentive to you for you to feel okay. Come on, leave. Criticizing others. Craving attention. Hallelujah. That's called a house cleaning, folks. Want everybody on three. Say one, two, three, and take a deep breath in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Let it out in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now. We've gone through these things. Now, anything that hit a button with you, and I know it hit a button with everybody, I'm certain somewhere, I want you right now in Jesus' name, you just say this, Satan, you have no place in my life. I don't want that in my life anymore. And that which spoke to me just now, I separate myself from it. That is not me. I am not that. I'm a child of the living God, filled with power. And I don't have to yield to pride. And I draw a line in the sand. And I say, get thee out of my life tonight. Heed of the Lord. Peak your power. Come on, devils. Loose the minds tonight. Loose them in Jesus' name. Come on. Beat the powers in Jesus' name. Come on, you psychic powers. Occult powers. Occult witchcraft powers. Come on. Come on, occultic witchcraft voodoo powers. I beat your power in Jesus' name. You snakes. I beat your Leviathan spirits. You Leviathan snake. I beat your power up and down the back in Jesus' name. You Leviathan snake. I beat your authority in Jesus' name. Leviathan, I hang you to Lucy saints tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, la kita saramoshon de makandana. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Okay, yositalamositalamane. Now you know what? If you didn't learn anything else tonight, I want you to remember the revelation. That if you're born again, There's a well of water inside of you springing up into everlasting life. It's a fountain. And all Jesus is calling you to do is get out of the way and let that well flow into a river. And I'm telling you, it'll shake down to the foundations of who you are. Because from your innermost being dwells Jesus. Satan ain't no deeper than Jesus. And if you let him flow, he'll like a water flood just flood out the enemy and wash out the foundations of all those old strongholds. Can I hear an amen? Are you willing to commit to worship Jesus? To praise him? If you don't speak in tongues or sing in tongues, I recommend you get prayer. And we can pray for you to get free in tongues. Ain't no greater gift unto God's heaven than singing and speaking in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you pray in a mystery. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest power and weapon. I thank God I speak with him. This summer will be 30 years I've spoken in tongues. Praise the Lord. And it's a power that can crush the strongholds like cracking a nut. And I'm telling you, man, out of your belly, I think that's what he meant. He flowed rivers. He said, because this spake ye of the Spirit, which they would receive on Pentecost. Oh, let's keep that on my Father. Say this, Jesus, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Man, that's the key to deliverance. You just worship Jesus. You praise Jesus. You commit yourself to letting that river flow through the day. And I tell you what, when you come in for prayer and you get deliverance, when you come one of these mass deliverances every week, that thing's going to be loosening more and more and more. Can you hear an amen?
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.